Good morning. I gave my sermon a topic this morning, so I'll share that with you. I call it Messiah Moments. We become more like Christ when we help others as He also did. Now, Jesus told John's disciples in today's lesson, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." Jesus turned the whole concept on its head and said, in effect, to John's disciples, instead of answering the question directly, the question is not, am I the Messiah? But having heard what I'm doing, is this what a Messiah looks like to you? At another point in his teachings, Jesus seemed to turn that whole thing upside down again to say to his listeners, at the time of your death, you will be asked, so did you help God or help me, God? And you will search your mind for the things your denomination and your family valued. They will be good things. You will say, well, when I was a child, I carried the cross. I attended services regularly throughout my life. And then I worked on this and that committee. I sang in the choir. I was a deacon and I was a priest. But then you'll notice that God isn't that impressed. And it will distress you for a minute because this is the big moment. All the things you worked hard to do and say that your family and your community rewarded you for as being good, and God is not mesmerized. And then you will look over the shoulder of the master, and you'll see a familiar face in the multitude. It's the face of a former co-worker who was going to lose her home to foreclosure. And despite your meager savings, you gave her enough for one more month. Then she calls out to you, and the master says to her, "Oh, you know this one?" And she says, "Yes, I was going to be homeless, and she saved me." And God says, "Come on in, you helped me." And you will say, "No, I didn't help you, I helped her." And He will say, "You still don't understand. All these are simply my various disguises." When you see Christ in your neighbor, you will do crazy generous things. It makes you take risks for that Christ, make sacrifices for that Christ, deny yourself for this Christ, share generously with that Christ, and then sharing is no longer a sacrifice, but an opportunity. Every human being is just a few short decades away from the full exposure of their divinity. We are God's precious incarnations, God's disguises, working the bugs out of our perceptions in a world blind to divine reality. So, the person who is able to see past the shallow perspective of how important you look and are is the person who is mostly the true disciple. When your neighbor or your spouse or your child or a stranger needs you most is when the veil between the material and the spiritual is the thinnest. It becomes the moment to really do something for God. A Messiah moment. 2 years ago, we at MicroGrants, where I work, had our quarterly board meeting. And Tom Welch is on our board, and he was there. He's a wealth manager. In Tom's world, moments of opportunity are when really valuable stocks are at their lowest perceived value. Or they're undervalued. Stocks which, if people really knew their potential, they would rush to buy them. At that point, Tom moves in opportunistically, invests in them on behalf of his wealthy clients, the stock goes up, and money is made. Anyway, this quarterly board meeting took place the day after the announcement to charge the cop who shot Philando Castile. And Tom had heard two cops on NPR radio saying that, discussing the fact that because low-income people drive older cars, they were more likely to be stopped by police and at greater risk for negative interactions. So he immediately asked, is anyone doing anything to help these people? Now, who asked that? In fact, some of my friends simply say, well, if you can't afford the maintenance, you shouldn't own the car. Or, if you break the law, you pay the fine. I assumed it was a rhetorical question, or that maybe Tom meant to ask, is anyone protesting against police brutality? But Tom was actually asking, was anyone helping people with their older car repairs? Well, the question just hung in the air for a moment, and soon we were all shaking our heads, looking at each other and saying, I don't know anyone. You? But after a few minutes of conversation, darned if we didn't come up with an idea. We would give grants to people in our 40 partner agencies in the form of free light bulb replacements. After all, we have $1,000 grants to small business. We give $1,000 grants to small businesses and career startups. Anyway, why don't we just give $30 and $50 grants to fix lights? So we put the word out to our 40 partner agencies. Anyone of the total of 20,000 people or so in all of their programs who had a light out was eligible for a free bulb replacement at Bobby and Steve's Auto World. Basically, Bobby and Steve's was already in relationship with us. One morning, Chris, our program manager, came into the office and said to me that she'd been discussing this whole concept with her partner, Sam. And Sam had this crazy idea that we could put these vouchers in actual police cars, and they could give the vouchers to people at the precise moment when they pulled them over to give them a ticket or a warning. This is exactly how Philando was inspired, who inspired the idea, had been shot in the first place. Now, as Philando's mom would say later, maybe if this program had been around when my son was shot, he might still be alive today. So we made a test case in Columbia Heights. Cops and drivers and service stations all loved the idea because it had taken the poisoned encounter caught on Facebook and viewed by 2.5 million angry, disillusioned citizens and turned into a messiah moment, an opportunity for restoration. For low-income drivers, it turned a financial crisis and negative interaction into smiles, gratitude, and relief. For the service station, it turned them also into heroes, fixing cars at no cost to the drivers. Today, these messiah moments are happening in 65 Minnesota cities and counties, including Rochester and Duluth in the Twin Cities, and starting this week, the state troopers also have them on board. They make 34,000 equipment violation stops each year. the state troopers do. So even if a quarter of those are light bulbs, there will be a lot of healing going on. There have been 1,300 Messiah moments so far, and 1,300 more at the 55 auto service stations where the people come in to redeem their vouchers. People are hugging cops and asking to take selfies with them, all because a man who had to purchase stock at their lowest point also saw a police stop as an opportunity to invest in their lives and the lives of the lowest income people. Like Christ, we stand by alertly to invest in the lives of the disguised Christ. As you leave this place and you see him in the spirit of a hurting child, a lonely neighbor, someone caught in a financial, social, or legal quicksand, create a Messiah moment. When you do that, not only do you become the Messiah, but you are helping one of whom the Lord will say, "Hey, that was me." Only you'll hear it in real time. "Hey, this is me." It's the Messiah helping the Messiah. It's Christ in everything and everyone. Jesus warns that some will be offended, confused that you are making this sacrifice, taking that risk, asking that difficult question, seeking the impossible answer. But you know that this is the divine moment. The moment when the sick and the healer meet. We stand ready for these Messiah moments and we seize them. Even John the Baptist didn't have this opportunity, this vision of reality. Christ is everywhere and everyone. But he opens his arms widest when you meet him in the valley, in the desert, among the rocks, in the jagged face of the hill, or on the stormy sea. In a world full of distractions and seductions, let us keep a contemplative posture of openness so we can see him when he shows up and have the love power to reach out and heal. Now I know you've been doing a little silent prayer at the end of each sermon, and we're going to do that today. And again, I can't say enough how much our perception shifts and need an divine intervention. And that's what a meditative life can do. So let's go into the Be Still prayer together. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Amen.